welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. We continue our summer of laughter with Lum and Abner. Lum and Abner was a comedy set in a small town in the hills of Arkansas. Both actors were from Arkansas, where they started their career as comedians. They took their act as fellers from the hills to Chicago and got a radio sponsor, Quaker Oats. Their 15-minute show was popular for decades, and from 1947 to 1950, they did a half-hour show. We have two of those shows for you this week. First is the audition show for their 30-minute slot. Lum and Abner have to borrow money to pay their taxes, and it isn't easy to find a good deal. Enjoy Lum and Abner raising money for taxes. First broadcast July 7th, 1948 on CBS.
Granny's, Abner. I believe that's our ring.
Ah.
The Lum and Abner Show.
We bring you a brand new kind of visit with those old characters down in Pine Ridge, featuring Clarence Hartzell as Ben Withers, Herb Vigran, Francis X. Bushman, Herbert Rawlinson, the music of Felix Mills, and starring your old favorite, Lum and Abner. And now, as we look in on the little community of Pine Ridge today, we find Lum and Abner in their Jot 'em Down store discussing a business matter with a man from the county tax collector's office. Listen.
Well, that's it. Your taxes are delinquent, and if you don't pay us the $72 by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, the Jot 'em Down store will be sold to the highest bidder. Now, what have you got to say to that?
Ah.
You don't want to lose your store over a little matter of money, do you?
Well, it ain't so much the money that's bothering us.
It's trying to raise it.
Well, just remember, you've got 24 hours.
Is that daylight saving time?
It's any time, and that's final. Goodbye.
Granny, now where can we get our hands on $72?
Well, now...
Some good, honest way.
Oh. That lets my idea out.
Our biggest stumbling block is we're broke.
Yeah. I reckon we ought to have saved our money during the Depression so we'd have enough money now to live through this prosperity life.
Well, we've got to get it some way. First, I'll go to my friends.
Well, that won't take long.
Then I'll go to the bank, and then I'll try the county treasurer. He ought to loan us the money as long as he's going to get it back.
Well, of course, we can always go to Squire Skimp.
Abner, I wouldn't go to Squire Skimp if he was the last man on earth, and I was with him. Yeah, that's what I want, Squire, alone.
Well, I'm glad you came to me, Lum, instead of going to some unscrupulous out-of-town loan shark.
Yeah, I'd rather do business with the local ones.
Yes. You say you want $72, Lum?
Yeah.
Well, I think that can be arranged satisfactorily. Excuse me a minute, Lum, while I contact one of my financial associates.
Couldn't you just give me the $72 now?
Just a moment now, Lum. Hello, Joe. I need a little cash. How'd we do in the third? Left at the post, huh? What about Lady Hayburner? Scratched, huh? What'd you have, two on her nose?
Is something wrong, Squire?
No, Lum. Just one of my clients, Lady Hayes Bernard, turned left into a post and got scratched up a little, is all.
Well, what was that about putting two on her nose?
She got scratched, Lum, on her nose. They put two band-aids on there instead of one.
Must have been a bad scratch.
It was practically disastrous. Hello, Joe. How about that long shot in the seven? 29-1.
Oh, it must be later than that.
Send the money over right away, Joe. I'm parlaying it on a sure thing here in my office. Yes, sir. Goodbye, Joe. Lum, now, while we're waiting for my associate to deliver the money, we'll fill out this loan form. Care for a cigar?
No, thanks.
Let's see, name, address, chew tobacco lump.
No thanks.
Collateral?
No thanks.
Lump. I mean, do you have any collateral put up for this loan? Something worth $72.
Well, we've just got the store.
Well, I'd be willing to stretch a point. I'll just put the store down here.
Well, wait a minute.
Now, as for interest, Lum, generally I charge simple interest. But in your case, I'll make it compound.
Now, don't let me take advantage of you just because I'm a friend, sir.
Break $72 down into 10 payments. That's $7.20 plus $6.724.32. That makes $11.52 payments, Lum.
Well, now, Squire, you've got to live, too.
Yeah, well, I'll scrape through some. Now, maybe instead of making just 10 payments, you'd rather spread that out over a period of, say, 24 months.
Yeah, spread it out.
All right. That'll be 24 payments of $11.52. Of course, now, maybe you'd rather get it over with and pay it off in a lump sum.
Yeah, better lump it.
All right, lump, that's those 24 payments, come to $276.48.
That's awful lumpy.
Add in the original $72 you borrowed plus $2 surtax.
Surtax?
Well, you're not a lady lump. That comes to $350.48.
Well, now, wait a minute, Squire.
And if you pay it before midnight, we'll knock off the 48 cents.
$350.48. Doggies, looks to me like we're worse off than we was before.
Yeah, it does look that way, don't it? On the surface.
Now, if we don't dig up the money, we'll lose the store loan.
There ought to be somebody that ain't got no more sense than to loan us that much money.
Yeah, but...
Hello.
Oh, well, Ben Withers, we was just talking about you.
How's that, Edgar?
I said we
were...
Ben, I'm going to be frank with you, Ben. We need $350, quick.
Well, I'm the only man I know has got that kind of money is Volmer K. Sutter of Mount Ait, millionaire banker, worth several thousand dollars.
Well, do you reckon he'd actually lend me some money?
No. You're an unmarried bachelor, Lum, and Volmer K. Sutter will only do business with settled-down, happy family men. He distrusts bachelors.
But why?
Right. Volmer K. Sutter had a rather unfortunate experience with a bachelor once. The bachelor ran away with his wife.
Oh, that's a shame.
He brought her back in 2 weeks. Mr. Sutter's never trusted a bachelor since.
Well, I don't blame him.
Well, Abner's a settled-down family man. Maybe he can get the loan.
Well, why don't I jump on the long-distance phone and check with him?
Well, if you think we can get some money from him, call him.
Mr. Sutter firmly believes in the vine-covered cottage, the family circle, easy slippers, smoking jacket, pipe of mouth, faithful dog. Hello, baby. Oh, hello, baby. I'd like you to rush a call through to Mount 80. Orin J. Watford. You'll find him at the Ace High Snooker Palace.
I thought you was calling Mr. Sutter.
Well, I don't know Mr. Sutter.
Huh?
Hello? Ace High Snooker Palace? Orin? Guess who this is? He thinks I'm Russell Fillmore. Try again, Lauren.
Just tell him who you are and get hold of Mr. Sutter.
No, this is Ben Withers. Yeah.
Sure, I'll wait. What's the matter now, Ben?
He wants to make another shot. He doesn't want to hold up the game.
Oh, for pity's sake.
Nice fellow, Orin. But he's best inside out to break himself of the cigar habit. Hello, Orin. How's that? Side pocket, huh?
Dan, this is costing us money.
Orin, I wonder if you'd run across the street to the bank and ask your millionaire brother-in-law if he'll lend $350 to a needy friend of mine here in Pine Ridge.
Do you have to say needy?
Better make that speedy. How's that, Orin? Well, my stars, put him on. What do you know about that, Lum? Ralph Conway is there.
I don't care who. Just find out about the money.
Ralph wants to say hello to me. Ralph? Hello to you. Okay, Ralph. He's putting Orrin back on.
Ask about the money.
That's the first time I've talked to Ralph in 7 years. Sure good to hear his voice again. Hello? Who is this? Charlie?
Oh, my goodness.
Why, certainly, Charlie. I'd love to talk to him.
Now, hold on, Ben. This has went too far.
That Charlie thinks of everything. Hello, sir. Happy birthday, sir. Just a moment, sir. Here, Lum, you talk to him.
Well, I don't know what to say to him.
Just say happy birthday.
Oh, Granny, this is silly. I can't. Hello, sir. Happy birthday, sir. I said happy birthday. Happy birthday. Here, Ben, take this receiver and get Orrin back on.
How'd you like that fellow's voice, Lum?
Couldn't hardly hear him. Who was it?
I don't know. Some fella hanging around the pool hall. Charlie said he's 93 years old today and has never talked long distance before. This was Charlie's birthday present to him.
Charlie, who's paying for this call?
Hello, who's this? Ed?
Oh, me.
Well, that's just fine, Ed. Say hello to Bessie and Clyde. Goodbye. Well, you're in luck, Lum.
In luck?
Orrin told Ed to tell me...
I don't want to hear it.
...that he contacted Mr. Sutter over at the bank, and Mr. Sutter will be in Pine Ridge this afternoon to discuss the loan.
He will, but I thought you... When did you find that out?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you tell me this before?
How could I? You kept butting in on the conversation.
No, Abner, you ain't never going to make no impress on Mr. Sutter that way. Here's all I want you to do. Look like a family man. Look happy.
Well, make up your mind. I can't do both.
Abner, a family man is happy.
When did that start?
Leastways, far as Mr. Sutter's concerned there.
It's all him.
Now, if you expect to get this loan first, you've got to make him think you're a family man that's awful thoughty of his woman.
Well, Lum, I'm thoughty, Elizabeth. Who was it that sat on the fence in a hot boiling sun all one day learning her how to plow?
Well, yeah, that's nice.
And but... me with a busting headache, too.
Well, Abner, them ain't quite the things I mean.
Well, how about me setting up of an evening reading a catalog to her while she half-soles my shoes?
Well, look,
I've even stood out in a pouring down rainstorm and helped the ladder while Elizabeth patched the roof.
Abner, I ain't trying to criticize your domesticalness.
How?
But a man like Mr. Sutter has got different ideas on the subject. Now, look, we're going to have him take supper over at your place. And when he gets there, I want you to be sitting in that big rocking chair in the parlor with your easy slippers on, your dog, Old Blue, sitting at your feet, pipe in mouth.
Old Blue can't smoke.
I don't mean him.
Makes him sick, Tom.
Better have your daughter, Pearl, kneeling down at one side of your chair.
I doubt if them slippers will fit him either.
Then I want you to have Elizabeth standing behind your chair with one hand on your shoulder and holding a pitcher of lemonade in the
other. Oh, no. Stop right where you're at. I ain't going to take a chance of her stand behind me with anything that heavy in her hand.
Look, if we expect to get enough money to stay in business... Wait a minute. Was that our ring?
I don't know. I'll see. Hello. Jot him down, store. Abner Peabody doing the talking. Who? Oh, my goodness. Is she hurt bad?
Who's hurt? Elizabeth?
Oh, this is terrible. I'll be right home. Lum, I got to get over to the place right away.
Well, wait a minute. What happened
to
her?
Well, I'll tell you later, Lum.
Oh, that poor Elizabeth. What a time to have an accident. For a clumsy woman, she sure is awkward.
Oh, this is the terriblest thing. How did it happen?
Well, you see,
I just look at her laying there, poor little varmint. Speak to me, honey. Poor little Rosebud. I doggies, mister, you ought to have been more careful where you was driving that bad blame truck.
Well, I couldn't help it. I'm driving along, minding my own business, not looking to right nor left, and all of a sudden, here's this cow standing in the middle of the road, gazing up at the Bull Durham sign. Looking just like she's considering a trip to the Casbah with him.
All right, doggies, I'm a good mind to lawsuit you for this.
Oh, no, no, you can't do that. I ain't responsible.
Well, why ain't you? You was driving a truck.
Yeah, but I ain't got no driver's license.
Well, I guess you got me there. Will you help me try to get her to the vet?
Yeah, well, just a minute. First, I got to make out this accident report for the insurance company. What's the name now?
Rosebud.
Is that your first name or your last name?
It's the cow's name. I don't believe she's got a first name or a last name either. Better just make it Rosebud Peabody.
I don't want the cow's name. I want yours.
Well, I wasn't hurt.
I never thought you was. You're the owner of this cow, and if you expect to get any money out of this insurance claim, I got to send your name into the company, see?
Well, send Rosebud. It might make her feel better.
Oh, look, all I ask is just one man, simple, straightforward name, and what do I get? No.
He's been. This is the worst one kettle of fish I've ever been in.
Fine.
It's been now 2 hours since I've heard from Abner. And I just got a call from Mr. Sutter that he's on his way over here.
Well, there's no use in your talking to Mr. Sutter, Lum. He only does business with happy family men.
Well, I ain't got time to raise a happy family now. And Abner's woman's been hurt in some kind of an accident. No telling when he's going to be here.
Oh, that's highly unfortunate. Is she hurt badly?
I don't know. I ain't got none of the details yet. I just hope it ain't so serious that it'll keep her from cooking that supper for Mr. Sutter. If we don't get him over to Abner's house, we're sank.
Right.
And it looks like if it ain't half a dozen of one thing, it's six dozen of the same.
How's that?
Excuse me, Ben. Hello, jot 'em down store. Lum Eddard's talking.
Lum, this is Abner.
Oh, well, thank goodness. How is she, Abner? Is she hurt bad?
I'm feared so.
Oh, me.
Broke her hind leg.
Oh. Then Elizabeth broke her hind leg.
This is the spot we suggest for the sponsor's commercial. Your message will be welcomed by millions of Lum and Abner fans from every city, town, hamlet, and crossroad throughout America. For over 17 years, these loyal friends have followed the daily lives of these two old codgers from the hill country. And Pine Ridge is perhaps as well known today as any city throughout the land. Lum and Abner have become a household name as truly American as baseball and ham and eggs. Their entertainment throughout the years has typified good, clean, wholesome, down-to-earth American life. To the folks in small towns, it's a visit with old friends. To those in the city, it's a pleasant departure like going back home again. It's an era of American life that people who knew it don't want to forget, and people who didn't like to know. Isn't this the type of entertainment you would like your product associated with? Well, the listeners for nearly a decade have proven to be as loyal to the product as they are to Lum and Abner themselves. Palmer K. Sutter, Mount Ida banker, has arrived in Pine Ridge to discuss lending family man Abner $350 to save the Jot 'em Down store. However, Abner has forgotten all about money as he watches over his injured cow out in the barn.
Right now, he's trying to get the cow to go to sleep. Listen.
As Elise saw the flash in his eyes, she quickly proffered him a cigarette. But Preston brushed it aside, and with his hot breath blowing on her cheek, whispered hoarsely, "I love you, darling." That's exciting, ain't it, Rosebud? "I love you, darling. Do you understand? I love you."
"Mom?"
"Huh? Oh, doggies. I never heard you come in, Cedric."
"Oh, Mr. Lum sent me over here to tell you."
"Be quiet, Cedric. Don't disturb Rosebud. I'm just now getting her quieted down."
"Oh, the cow, you mean?"
"Yeah. She just loves them stories in the Ladies' Home Journal."
"Oh." "Well, Mr. Lum told me about the accident that your woman... Say, what's the matter with Rosebud's leg?"
"She broke it."
"Oh, must run in your family. How's your wife?"
"Oh, she's fine. I got her calmed down after the accident. It's Rosebud I'm worried about."
"Well, where's Miss Peabody, in bed?"
"In bed? Well, no, she's out chopping wood."
"Chopping wood? With her leg?"
"No, with a regular chopping axe."
"Oh, be doggone. She sure must knit fast."
"Yeah, she knit me a pair of socks once in less than a week."
"I'm talking about the bones in her leg."
"Oh, no, she used a regular knitting needle." "Of course, now, since you mention it, with her knees, I believe she could knit a pair of socks off."
Say, Mr. Lum told me to tell you that there's a Mr. Sutter over at the Jot 'em Down store waiting for you."
"Sutter? Oh, my goodness alive, I plumb forgot about him." "Oh, for the land's sake." Rosebud woke up again. "Here, Cedric, take this and start in right there."
"Just move."
"Right there. And I'll see you later."
Preston brushed it aside, and with his hot breath blowing on her cheeks, whispered hoarsely, "I love you, darling."
"Well, now, just take it easy, Mr. Sutter. I'm sure Abner will be here any minute."
"I'm afraid I can't waste any more time, Mr. Edwards. Time is money, you know."
"It is. Granny's no wonder we're broke. I've been sleeping up about $100 worth every night."
"I'll give him 5 more minutes to get here."
"Well, Mr. Sutter, the thing that's holding him up is because he's such a devoted family man."
"Oh?"
"See, his woman was in an accident today, and poor Abner, being such a family man, is all tore up over it."
"Well, I'm sorry to hear that."
"Oh, you've never seen such a family man. I just wish this accident hadn't happened so you could have saw him and his little family groped together in the parlor. It's a sight that'd have warmed the crockery of your heart."
"I'd like to hear more about that, Mr. Edwards."
"Well, sir, you can walk into their little rose-covered bird nest or love nest any time of the day or night, and you'll find Abner sitting amongst his beloved family circle."
That's the sort of thing I like to hear about a man."
"Yeah. Every night he sits there in his easy slippers, his good wife standing behind him, his curly-headed little daughter kneeling at his feet, gazing up at him with them watery blue eyes."
How old is the little one?"
"Going on 19.
"Months?"
"Years." "Oh, I tell you, Mr. Sutter, I wish you could see Abner sitting there with his faithful old dog sprawled at his feet, pipe in mouth."
"Does the dog smoke?"
"No. They claim he's part Sam Bernard."
"Yeah." "Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to get to meet Mr. Peabody. I'm afraid I'm going to have to go."
"Well, I'm sure that he..." "Aye, Granny, there comes the little varmint, Mr. Peabody now. Well, come on in, Abner, old boy. I know what a blow this has been to you, being such a family man and all."
"Aw."
"How's she getting along?"
"Oh, she's out in the barn belling her head off."
"The barn?
Oh, Abner, this is Mr. Sutter, the banker from Mount Ida.
Well, how do you do, you do?
How do you do? I'm sorry to hear about your misfortune. I hope she's resting well.
Oh, she's doing all right. Might learn her lesson. I know she's going to get hit one of these days the way she gads around the neighborhood.
Gads around?
Oh, the worst you've ever seen. Why, I've even saw her lay right down in the middle of the road and make cars drive around her.
What did you say?
Well, it's my own fault, I reckon, for not pinning her up. Quick as she gets well, I'm going to hobble her.
Better not let her hear you talking like that about her.
She's so dumb, she wouldn't understand me if she heard me.
What's this?
Mr. Sutter, Abner's just upset over this accident. He don't know what he's saying.
Yes, well, perhaps this is not the time to discuss business.
Oh, no, that's what I come over here for. How about the cash?
Well, I haven't had much opportunity to look over your business establishment here, but from what I've seen, I must say it looks a little run down.
Oh, well, that's just because Abner spends so much of his time at home with that charming little family of his.
Oh, yeah. Me and my dog, Old Blue, sat there in the parlor all day long. Me and my rocking chair and my stocking feet.
Stocking feet?
Yeah. Did you say Old Blue was wearing my slippers?
Oh.
Oh, we're a happy, happy household. Even our canary's happy. Just last week he split his beak smiling.
Abner, don't overdo it.
One of our hogs died laughing, Abner. You're just going to love taking supper with us, Mr. Sutter. We're having pork chops.
Why, I wouldn't think of imposing on Mrs. Peabody at a time like this.
Well, why not?
Well, a woman in her condition...
Oh, well, you can't go by that. Looks ain't everything.
No. But you couldn't ask a woman to cook a meal so soon after an accident like that.
Well, she did try to get out of it, but I told her you was coming for supper and she'd better get herself out in that kitchen.
But after all, a broken leg.
Oh, well, that's been took care of. The veterinary slapped a splint on it.
Veterinary? For goodness sakes, didn't you call a regular doctor?
For her? Why, of course not. They wouldn't work on her lump. And I don't blame her, wild as she is.
Wild?
Oh, when she gets hurt, it ain't safe to be around her. Why, she'll bore her neck and run you right off the place. And kick.
Mr. Peabody, you certainly don't mean that.
Oh, well, don't worry. I've got her locked up in the barn now.
Locked up in the barn?
Well, that's the best place for her in her condition.
Well, wouldn't she rather be with the family at a time like this?
Well, I thought about that. But now, as clumsy as she is, she'd break everything in the house. When she gets a little better, I'll turn her out in the lot. She just loves to romp with them mules.
Mr. Peabody, as far as I'm concerned, we can consider this business discussion closed.
Well, now, wait a minute, Mr. Sutter. Mr. Peabody don't mean nothing he said.
Did I say something wrong?
Abner, does Elizabeth ever lay down in the middle of the road?
Elizabeth? Not that I know of, no.
Did you ever hobble her?
No.
Did you ever lock her up in the barn?
Well, one time when we was first married.
Do you love and admire her?
Oh, yeah, I love her just like she's one of my own family.
Now. Now you see there, Mr. Sutter. Now how about the loan?
Well, if we do grant a loan, it'll have to be just a short-term one.
Well, that's all right.
Just so as we get our hands on the cash.
I'll have to look over the books first.
Go right ahead, sir.
And maybe you can get them to balance. We can't.
One look at our books will prove to you that we need that $350 pretty bad.
Oh, well, if that's all you want, I think perhaps I can take care of it.
Well, good for you.
Hey, Abner, got good news for you.
Huh?
The veterinarian says her leg's gonna heal all right.
Oh, hooray! I dog it, I won't have to shoot her.
Shoot her?
Abner, sitch talk. You know good and well you'd never do a thing like that.
I never aimed on doing it myself. I couldn't bring myself to do it, Lum, not after I've had her around the place so long.
Well, stop.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Sutter.
I've heard all I can stand.
Hey, Peabody, I turned in that insurance report on your accident.
Oh, well, I believe the old cow's going to get well now.
Old cow?
This is the end.
Mr. Sutter, come back.
All my life, I've never heard a word.
My grannies, now we're ruined. We've lost everything. We're done for.
Is something wrong?
Now, look, Peabody, you just signed this claim.
You
here.
Get out of here. Can't you see we're going bankrupted?
Look, Grandpop, if I don't get this insurance claim signed, they can't give Peabody this $350 for breaking his old cow's leg.
$350?
Cow's leg? I thought it was Elizabeth.
Nah, name is Rosebud.
Wait a minute. You mean that Abner gets 300? I grannies, we're in business again.
Oh, Abner, I also have a message for you from Mrs. Peabody. She said in regard to that supper tonight...
Oh, I plumb forgot about that. Here she's baked up everything in the place, and now Sutter's left. If I don't bring somebody home, she'll... Hey, you!
Who, me?
Yeah, how'd you like to take supper with us tonight?
Well, I ain't got me pinstripe tuxedo, but leave us go!
Well, wait a minute. Let me finish Mrs. Peabody's message. She said don't bring anybody home. The supper is off. How? She stumbled over that dog of yours in the parlor, and she thinks she's broke her leg.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have another of Lum and Abner's money-making schemes as they go into the insurance business. It seems like a good way to make money at first. Enjoy Lum and Abner Insurance Sales, first broadcast April 3rd, 1949, on CBS.
Abner Show! What have you been doing all morning with them books and papers?
Abner, don't bother me. This is the biggest one idea I ever had.
Oh, yeah.
I'm forming a new insurance company.
Insurance company? What's the name of it?
The Lum Edwards Mutual Casualty Benefit Fidelity and Insurance Society of Pine Ridge and Company, Incorporated.
You rebated it, huh?
Yeah.
Is there any money in that loan?
Money? Abner, who do you think owns all them tall buildings you see in the big cities?
Huh?
Who do you think owns that big rock of Gibraltar out there in the ocean?
Jack Benny?
The insurance companies. Of course, mine's going to be a non-profit.
No profits, huh?
That's right. Huh. All the money we take in stays in the company. Of course, we got to pay salaries to the executives.
Oh, sure.
President and the three vice presidents, first, second, and third.
No shortstop, huh? Well, who are the executives going to be, Lum?
Well, seeing how I thought of the idea, I figured I'd hold down all them jobs myself.
Now I see why it's a non-profit company.
What do you mean?
Well, by the time you get done paying all them salaries to yourself, there won't be no money left for profits.
Congratulations, Abner. Let me shake your hand. You're the first customer in my new insurance company.
How do you do? Now I've got to go out and find myself an accident someplace.
Well, an accident ain't the only way you can collect your insurance. You get paid for being sick, too.
Yeah, if I'm real lucky.
Now, take Earl Scudder over in Hatfield. Now, he had one of these insurance policies, and when he got sick, he collected for 3 months.
Earl Scudder's dead.
Yeah, but he ain't broke.
No. A lucky stiff. Hey, look, there comes that lady from the county seat that was here last week.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I can sell her one of my insurance policies.
Yeah. Well, howdy, ma'am.
Come right in.
How do you do? I'm Miss Pitts of the County Home Economic Bureau. I'm preparing a sample luncheon for 8 Pine Ridge housewives, and I'd like to buy some crab meat for the salad.
Well, sit right down, Miss Pitts. Now, I have a little accident and health insurance here that a fine, intelligent woman like you should swallow hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, thank you. The county has delegated me to instruct the housewives of Pine Ridge in the new economic policy.
Well, Miss Pitts, I have a very economic policy, too.
Oh, that's fine. I'd like a brand with that's reliable and cheap and tasty.
Well, mine's reliable and cheap.
Well, it might be tasty, too, if you like parchment long.
Do you sell it loose or does it come in the can?
Well, it comes on paper, but I can stick it in a can for you.
Here's an old tomato can you can stick in this one.
Yeah. Could stick it in there. You don't mind if it's wrinkled up, do you, Miss Pitts?
No, I'm going to mix it with mayonnaise and dressing anyway.
Wait a minute, Miss Pitts. You talk like you're fixing to eat this insurance policy.
Well, that's one way of getting sick and collecting.
Oh, dear me. I'm afraid you misunderstood me. I don't want an insurance policy. I just want to buy a can of crab meat.
Crab meat?
Miss Pitts, if you're going to eat that stuff, you'll need an insurance policy.
Here I am, been wasting my time for nothing. Abner, have we got any crab meat?
Yeah, we got some in before the war. It's up there on that top shelf right next to the strong heart dog food there.
Would be on the top shelf where I can't reach it. Abner, come over here and bend down so as I can climb up there.
Yeah, all right. Oh, doggies, Mom, it feels like you got on your baseball shoes again.
Does he always stand on your shoulders like that?
No, ma'am. Just when he's reaching for the top shelf.
I got to stop jiggling, Abner. I'm coming down. There. Well, here you are, Miss Pitts. That's 30 cents.
Oh, thank you. Here's the money, and good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Well, that's four good days in a row. Longest spell of good weather we've had in weeks or not.
Well, hello, Opie, old friend. Come on in, Abner. Get the cat out of that easy chair and let our guest make himself comfort while I sell him an accident policy.
Well, he sure needs one. He's bound to have an accident sooner or later the way he plays that clarinet of his.
Opie, suppose you had an accident or you got too sick to work. What would happen to you and your loved ones?
I don't know. I guess they'd throw me out of the house.
Natural.
Yeah. But, Opie, if you had an insurance policy and you was getting paid all the time you're sick, then what would happen?
His loved ones would never let him get any better.
Well, anyway, Opie, all it costs is $3 a month.
$3 a month?
Well, actually, Opie, it comes to just 10 cents a day. You spend that much on a good necktie.
Well, yeah, 10 cents a day ain't much. All right, Lum, here's a dime. I'll take a day's worth.
A day's worth.
Yeah, but don't make out the policy now. I want to save it for the day I have my accident.
Why don't you spend 20 cents, Opie? That way you get that double identities.
Be quiet. Opie, you can't get it by the day. You got about a month's worth.
Well, I ain't got $3 right now, Lum, but I'm expecting some money later on.
Well, that's all right, Opie. You can pay me then. Now, just sign this policy. Here's my pen.
Yes, sir. There you are, Lum. Well, I gotta run along now. I'll see you later, fellas.
Yeah, so long, Opie.
Opie, wait just a minute. How much money are you expecting later?
Well, I don't know yet, Lum. It all depends on what kind of accident I have. So long.
Granny's Abner, this insurance company of mine is going even better than I thought it would.
Well.
I've already sold you and Opie, and the town's full of suckers just like you.
Yeah. Well, I knew you'd get me, but doggies, I didn't think Opie'd be that stupid.
You know, Abner, I've been thinking I ought to have more of a dignified name for my company.
Oh.
Lum Edwards don't sound important enough.
No. You could have called yourself John Edwards or Henry. Hey, wait a minute. What about Prudential Edwards?
Yeah, that sounds kind of important. Sounds insurance-y.
Yeah.
Prudential J. Edwards. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah. We could call you Prudy for sure. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes Luke Spears, and he looks madder than a wet setting hen. Yeah, howdy, Luke.
Howdy, Abner.
Yeah, howdy, Luke.
Well, I made her what you do to my nephew, Opie.
Nothing. I just sold him an insurance policy.
Well, all he's been doing for the last 2 hours is throwing himself downstairs on his head.
Oh, Lord me.
Warner, what happened to him?
Nothing, but he busted three of my steps.
Well, Luke, I'm glad you come over here.
I won't do it, Lum.
You won't do what?
Whatever you're going to ask me.
Luke, I'm just trying to help you because you're such a nice, sweet, friendly little feller.
Oh, yeah? I'm a mean, miserable, nasty little varmint, and you know it.
He's got you there, Lum.
Yeah, I know, but I'm willing to overlook that. Now, Luke, everybody needs insurance. For instance, suppose you was walking down the street some night.
What street?
Any street. It don't make no difference.
It makes a difference to me. I ain't going walking on no strange street in the middle of the night.
I don't blame you, Luke. That's how accidents happen.
Well, it don't have to be a strange street. Let's say you're walking down Main Street just for the sake of argument.
I don't have to walk down Main Street for an argument. I get more than I can handle right in my own lunchroom.
He gets one every time he serves a meal. The meal.
There's not going to be any argument. You're just walking down Main Street.
Where am I going?
You're not going anyplace.
Now, wait a minute.
All right, then. You're going to Moe's Moose Barbershop.
What for? I just got a haircut yesterday.
How about a shave?
No, thank you, Abner.
Well, then, Luke, let's forget about accidents. Let's suppose you get sick. Now, with one of my policies, you can be sick in bed and still have money coming in.
I can?
Well, sure. As high as $50 a week. And all it costs you is $3 a month.
Well, Dad, blame it, Lum. Why didn't you tell me that an hour ago instead of wasting my time talking about insurance? Here's $3. I'll take one of them sick policies.
That's fine. Now, here's my pen, Luke. Just put your John Hancock right there.
John Hancock? How come he don't sign his own name?
Why?
There you are. Now I gotta get back to lunchroom. So long, fellas.
So long, Luke.
So long. Granny said, now this insurance company is a regular gold mine.
Well, it ought to be. You get them policies printed up for 6 cents apiece, and you're getting $3 for them.
Wait a minute, Abner. You just give me an idea how I can make a lot more money. All I got to do is lower the prices.
You mean you're going to sell your insurance cheaper?
No, I'm going to try to get them 6 cent policies printed for a nickel apiece.
Oh!
Well, Abner, so far I've sold insurance policies to you, Opie Cates, Luke Spears, Charlie Redfield, Corny Struby, the Widder Frawley, and Snagware.
Well.
Granny's always took in enough money to pay myself my salaries as President, Secretary, and Treasury.
Well, that's pretty good for one day.
Yeah.
Yes,
of course, I still owe myself some salaries for being first, second, and third vice president and sergeant-at-arms.
Yeah. You better get after yourself, too, Lum. You know what slow pay you are.
Who's this coming in here?
He looks like a lawyer or a banker. He's wearing a blue serge suit in the middle of the day.
Yeah, he's rich. You can tell that.
And new rich. That suit ain't even got a shine to it.
Ain't even turned green yet.
No.
Yeah, see what he wants, Abner, while I get this grocery order ready for me to see something.
Yeah, I'll come to him.
Well, how do you do? My name's Johnson of the First Casualty Insurance Company of Little Rock.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Johnson? I'm Abner Peabody of the, nothing, I guess.
I'm looking for the Lum Edwards Insurance Company.
Well, that's the president right over there weighing them potatoes.
Oh, yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Mr. Edwards, my company's heard about your success in selling insurance policies here in Pine Ridge. If you'll come to work for us, we're prepared to pay you a salary of $20 a week and commissions.
Mr. Johnson, I'm surprised at you offering a man like me $20 a week.
I thought it was a little high myself.
Why, that's ridiculous.
Well, it's more than we generally pay, but the company's never been able to sell any policies in this territory. How much would you want, Mr. Edwards?
I wouldn't even consider anything less than $25.
$25 a week? Well, Lum, with the tax bracket that you're in, you won't be able to keep over $24 of that.
Very well, I'll notify my company of your decision. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, Mr. Johnson.
Goodbye.
Lum, I think you're making a mistake turning him down.
I know what I'm doing, Abner. I know this insurance business upside down and backwards.
Yeah, but maybe you ought to get in with somebody that knows it right side up and forth.
Uh-oh, here comes Moe's Moose. I gave him an insurance pamphlet to read. Watch him come in here and just beg me for a policy.
Beg? Howdy, Moe's.
Howdy, Abner. Lum, I just finished this pamphlet, and there's one part that's the saddest thing I ever read.
Yeah, what's that, Moe?
It's a part about that poor man that, oh, it's so heartbreaking, I'll get all choked up. Just read that right there, Abner.
In the United States, every 30 seconds, a man is knocked down by an automobile.
You see, no sooner does he get on his feet than, wham, down he goes again.
Poor varmint. Bless his heart. Bless.
He ain't even got time to brush himself off.
Of course, once he's knocked down that way, he's an easy target, Mose.
I can see his family now standing there waiting for that car to stop hitting him.
Yeah. It ought to run out of gas pretty soon, though.
Wait a minute, fellas. You've got this thing all wrong. That pamphlet's just taking one man and using him as a symbol.
You ask me, they used him as a football.
Oh, well, wait a minute, Lon. There's something very sad I want to tell you.
Never mind that. Just sign this policy first.
Oh, all right. There you are, Lon.
Yeah, fine. Now, Mose, what was that sad thing you wanted to tell me?
Well, I ain't got the money to pay for the policy.
Mose, that's the saddest thing you said yet.
Well, you just go ahead and take the policy, Mose, and I'll get the money from you later. I'll take it out in haircuts. Abner answers the phone.
Yeah, please. I'll get it. Hello, jot 'em down store. Abner Peabody speaking. Oh, hello, Miss Redfield.
Oh, that's Charlie's wife. I just sold him one of our accident and health policies.
How you feeling, Miss Redfield? That's good.
Nice feller, Charlie Redfield.
How's the family, Miss Redfield?
Honest as the day is long.
Fine. Except who? Oh, poor Charlie.
Great business head on the show.
Poor old Charlie.
What's that?
Are you sure it's pneumonia?
Abner, give me that phone.
Huh? He's
just like that crook Charlie Redfield to make out like he's sick, so he can collect on his injury. Mean as he is, he might even die.
Well, I think I'll just take my policy and run along back to the barber shop. So long, fella.
Yes, yeah, so long, Mose.
Hello, Miss Redfield. Now, what's this about Charlie making out like he's sick?
Just tripped going out the door, nearly killed himself.
Oh, my goodness. Miss Redfield, I'll call you back. Goodbye.
Come on, Lom. Help me lift Mose up and carry him back into the store.
No, I think I busted my knee.
Oh, stop your bellering, Mose. I'm sorry. It was all my fault.
Yeah, what happened, Opie?
Well, I was walking into the store, and I bumped into Mose coming out, and I guess he tripped over my crutch.
What are you doing with them crutches?
See, I busted my ankle, and I was just coming over to see you about collecting my accident insurance.
Oh, me.
How'd you bust your ankle, Opie?
Well, I slipped and fell off the ambulance.
What ambulance?
Well, the one that was taking Uncle Luke to the hospital.
What happened to him?
Well, you see, Lum, right after he bought that insurance policy from you, he was walking down Main Street and he slipped on a banana peel and fractured four of his ribs.
Oh, that clumsy idiot. What was he doing on Main Street?
Looking for a banana peel.
Hey, fellas, are you going to just let me lay here with this busted knee?
Oh, all right, Mose. Come on, Abner. Help me lift him.
Mom, we never will be able to lift Mose by ourselves. I can't even get his head off of the ground.
Well, you could call the Fuller Construction Company in Mount Ida, and they might send over their Derek.
Here, maybe we can drag him inside.
Oh, now, fellas, watch out for my knee.
You be more comfort in here, Mose.
Yeah, it's kind of dusty here on the floor.
Aw. Opie, run into the feed room and get that old horse blanket for Mose. That'll cover most of him.
Well, I don't know if I can run very fast on these crutches.
Well, crutch you in there, then.
This is the unluckiest day of my whole life. First Charlie Redfield gets sick, and then Luke Spears, and Opie, and now Mose.
Yeah, Dad, blame it, I wish something would happen to me. My policy's just sitting here going to waste.
This'll just break me. The only ones I insured that ain't sick are Corny Strooby and Widder Frawley and Snag Warris and you.
Yeah. Corny and the Widder went to Hatfield today.
Yeah. Hope nothing happens to them.
Well, here's the horse blanket, Mose.
Oh, thanks, Opie.
Say, fellas, did you hear about the Hatfield bus?
Oh, me.
It run into a car about an hour ago and turned over.
Oh, that's terrible, Opie.
Yeah, but it could have been worse. Out of 38 passengers on the bus, there was just two of them hurt.
I know, the Widder Frawley and Corny Strooby.
How'd you know, Lon?
I just guessed. Oh, why did I ever go into the insurance business? Now, I better run over and see if nothing happens to Snag Warris. He's the only well one I got left. Abner, answer the phone.
Yeah, please. I'll get it. Hello, jot him down, store. Abner Peabody talking.
Opie, tell Abner to keep an eye on Mose here. I'm going over to see Snag.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Lon, wait a minute. Snag Warris is on the phone now, and he wants to talk to you. He just busted both his arms.
Both his arms? How'd he do that?
He was driving the car cracked into the Hatfield bus.
Wait a minute, Abner. Where are you going?
Over to Snag Warris. I want to see how he can hold a receiver with two broke arms.
There ain't no two ways about it. I'm sank. All I collected on them insurance policies is $27, and I owe $300 just for the first week.
Oh,
Luke Spears is talking about suing me, and I ain't even got enough money to go into bankruptcy.
Huh. Well, it's your own fault, Lum. You ought to have took that job Mr. Johnson offered you with that insurance company in Little Rock.
Hey, fellas, how long do I have to lay here on the floor?
Opie went to find a block and tackle mold. He gets one of them while we can raise you up on blocks and put wheels under you and roll you home. If you let your watch chain drag, well, folks will think you're one of them butane trucks.
Here comes Lady Brilton. Abner, whatever you do, don't mention nothing about insurance. I just can't afford to sell no more policies.
No, cut that out.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Edwards and Mr. Peabody.
How do you do?
Come in, Lady Brilton. Make yourself comfortable.
Thank you. I don't believe I've met the gentleman on the floor.
Roll over, Mose, and say hello to Lady Brilton.
Well, howdy, Lady Brilton. Pardon me for not getting up.
Oh, don't mention it. Mr. Edwards, I've heard that you're now in the insurance business.
Well, that was yesterday. Right now, I'm trying to figure a way to get out of it.
Oh, but Mr. Edwards, you mustn't give up so quickly. You've got to give the business a chance to grow. One day isn't much of a trial.
Don't worry, Lady Brilton. His trial will take longer than one day.
Mr. Edwards, to demonstrate my faith in your insurance company, I'm going to purchase one of your policies.
Oh, no, no.
Hey, fellas, I'm getting hungry. Can you throw me down something to eat?
Yeah, here you are, Mose. I'll bounce an orange over there.
Yeah, don't go bouncing no oranges.
Dribble it.
Hand it to him and have him sign for it.
Yes, sir.
Now, look, Lady Brilton, you don't want one of my policies. My company's new and unreliable, and the president's thinking of leaving the town.
Mr. Edwards, I appreciate the honesty of your approach, but I insist on taking a policy.
Oh, all right. That'll be $3. Just sign your name right here.
Well, good. There. Now I feel so much safer. My gracious. Oh, I feel faint.
That insurance will do it every time.
Lady Brilton, sit down and rest. rest for a minute.
Oh, it must be that crab meat salad I had at that housewife's luncheon. Oh, no wonder all those ladies were so ill.
Uh-oh. Lum, how much does that policy paper toll me?
Wait a minute, Abner. Look who's coming in here.
Huh? Oh, is that Mr. Johnson from Little Rock?
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, gentlemen.
Just in time.
Well, Mr. Edwards, I communicated with my company, and they authorized me to make you a counter proposition.
Counter? Right now, I'll sell you the whole store.
Well, I'll explain the proposition in a few words. We understand that you are having financial difficulties, so we're willing to absorb your company into ours and pay all claims against policies issued by you. We feel that prompt payment on these claims will bring us the confidence and trust of the rest of the people here in Pine Ridge and induce them to buy their insurance from our company. But what do you say, Mr. Edwards?
Watch him, Lon. If he says another few words, we'll be here all night.
If you'll just sign these releases here, there are 8 copies.
Yeah, I've already signed them, Mr. Johnson, while you was talking.
Dogan, with a company like that waiting to pay off, I better find me an accident someplace.
How do you do? I'm Miss Pitt.
Yeah, I know, and you want some more crab meat for your tomaine salad. Come on, climb up here, Lon.
How many cans do you want?
Oh, dear me, I don't want any more crab meat.
You don't?
No, I thought I would come in and buy one of those insurance policies you were telling me about.
No.
Hey, Lon, look out, crab meat. Lum, are you hurt?
Hurt? I busted my leg, that's all.
Busted your leg? Well, that's great. Now that you got an insurance company that can really pay off.
That's the trouble, Abner. I just remembered something. Huh? I was so busy selling policies to everybody else, I forgot to get one myself.
Lom, I hear you finally took an accident and health policy.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson sold me one.
Oh, too bad you didn't have it before you busted your leg. You'd be collecting plenty now.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to get a call from the Sing It Again program. I got the clue to the Phantom Voice.
You have? What is it?
The clue is the Phantom Voice, in more than one way, gave a lot to the USA.
Well, I hope you win it, Lom. Here's a little present that Miss Pitts sent over for you.
Miss Pitts?
Yeah, it's some of that crab meat salad.
Good. I'm going to eat it right now. You get Mr. Johnson on the phone.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.